to preach your entire message. We do have enough time this morning. Pastor Daniel, he's a wonderful man. He really is. You know, Pastor Daniel, he spoke at a men's fishing camp last year. He was our guest speaker. And last year, you know, I think the Lord, it's no coincidence that the Lord brought Pastor Daniel into my life personally. He's been a great source of strength to me, particularly last year when I went through a very tough time and our church went through a bit of a tough time. Pastor Daniel, the Lord brought him alongside me. And, you know, we're very different, different generation and all that. But we just shared so much values-wise, and he really has become like a brother to me. And I really thank the Lord for Pastor Daniel. And I remember he took me for the first time to the Dragon Palace in Coburn. It's like, this guy's going to be my best friend from now on. Because this place was, have you ever tried the squid there, salt and pepper squid? Wow, that was transformative. Anyway, we went there and Pastor Daniel, the cart comes around. He just ordered things. I don't know what he was ordering, but everything he ordered was beautiful. And we just spoke and we shared. I cried. And he just encouraged me so much. And we've met up since then, you know, for coffees. And he's been such a great blessing to us. And he is a real blessing to the city of Coburn. And, you know, many of you don't know this, but Pastor Daniel heard about our Transformers ministry and he said, I want to support it. I mean, who does that? Which other church comes along and goes, I can see you doing something good here? And I'm going to keep talking through. But yeah, that just made, it meant so much to us. You know, that, you know, their church comes once a month and they provide food for our Transformer kids. Isn't that? It's amazing. Can we thank the Lord for that? Yeah. And he's even come down himself a couple times to Transformers. And he's hung with the kids and he's sat and eaten with them. And wow, and his wife, just beautiful. And we really thank you for that, Pastor Daniel, for your generosity in that. And I know you're going to be a great blessing to us today. The last time Pastor Daniel preached, he preached on unity. I don't know if you remember that. But what a wonderful time that was with him. And today, we welcome you. And we thank you for coming this morning and sharing with us. Please come and preach the word.
Thank you, Pastor Luke, for your kind introduction. Good morning, Heart City Church. Good morning. It's my joy and privilege to come here this morning. And I don't think it's a coincidence. You all talk about coincidence. I came here this morning to witness the new members joining your church. How wonderful it is. The Church of God is growing every day. Can we say amen to that? Amen. I'm so glad to see new people here in your church. And I believe the Lord will continue to increase your church. Amen. One night, a woman needed some money. So she went to an ATM in a shopping center near her. It was dark. So there's no one there. The shopping center was closed. So she quickly went to the ATM machine, put her card in. And at that time, she sensed a guy was just lined up behind her. So she was a bit nervous. Because that nighttime, you know, a guy, don't know what he's up to. So he quickly put the card in. And unfortunately, the card was rejected. By this time, she sensed the man was walking a bit closer to her. So she was quite nervous. So she put her card in the machine again, and it was rejected again. Wow, she was nervous. By this time, she sensed a guy was standing just behind her. So she quickly put her card in the machine the third time, and unfortunately, it was rejected once again. And by this time, she sensed the guy was just peeping over her shoulder. She was horrified. She was frustrated. She was frightened and she was angry. So she turned around and yelled to the guy, "What are you doing? Are you trying to rob me?" And the guy said, No, lady, please don't get me wrong. I was just wondering why you keep putting your Medicare card into the machine." The moral of the story is, when something suddenly happened to us, the first reaction is fear, isn't it? Now, let's look at a short video.
Oh,
Wow. I believe that that's a battleship. Now, imagine if you were one of the crew on this ship, how would you feel when the ship is going through this such a stormy sea? You know, in life, there are many, many storms. Do you agree? We all go through storms in life. At this moment, the whole world is facing two serious storms. And you know, all know what they are. First one is the COVID-19. COVID-19, we all agree, many people agree, this is the worst pandemic since civilization begins. Do you know up to now what are the statistics? Globally, there are over 630 million people affected with COVID. Are you aware of that? 630 million people have been affected with COVID. And more than 6.5 million people die because of this. This is one of the worst pandemic mankind has ever faced. The second storm facing the whole world is the Ukraine war. Now, this war is ongoing for more than half a year, and there's no sign of stopping. Now, the trouble is, this war has a potential to develop into a third world war. Isn't it true? Anything could happen from this war. So the whole world is facing these two storms. But on a personal level, we all face storms in life, isn't it? There are health storms. Might be one day, your doctor will tell you, hey, look, because you've got a cancer or something that's very troublesome. And we got financial storms. We got work storms. One day your boss might tell you, hey, sorry, because of COVID, we cannot afford you anymore. You'll finish at the end of this month. Might be there are relationship storms in the family. We have all kinds of storms in life. And when storms hit you, usually they are sudden. You're not prepared for it. Usually, the storm is fierce. Usually, you get in the shock and fear would come in. And people would frantically react to the storms. My brother-in-law, he was a driver, bus driver in Hong Kong. He was about my age. So there's another couple of years before he planned to retire and spend time with the family. 2 years ago, suddenly he had this constipation. And he thought, well, just constipation. He took some medicine himself and didn't help. Then eventually he went to the doctor and found out he has the final stage colon cancer. Within 2 months, he passed away. It was a very difficult time for the family because it came such of a sudden. It shocked the whole family. But thank God the whole family, they are committed Christians and it helped them to go through their most difficult time. How many of you have gone through storms in life? How many of you are going through at this moment? Amen. This morning we are going into a gospel passage when the disciples of Jesus went through a storm together with Jesus. From this gospel message, there are many, many lessons you and I could learn to help us to overcome storms in life. And this message is for everyone, whether you're young or whether you're old or not so young, because it's not if, but when storms in life will hit you. Amen? Amen? Now, so let's look at the passage. Yeah, the first passage. This is in the Gospel of Mark chapter 4. The day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciple woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the wave, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down. It was completely calm. He said to the disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still not have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful this morning we could fellowship around your word. Lord, would you open your word to us and open our eyes to your word so that together we can understand the deep things of God. Bless our time together, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let's look at the first picture. Now, it was a terrible storm, isn't it? You see, this in those days, it's not a ship. There's just small boats, you see. And all of them are in this storm. And it's just terrible, terrible. So, if you were disciples, what could you do? Now, this morning, I want to share three principles, three keys whereby we can use them to overcome the storms. Three keys that you and I can use to overcome storms in life. So listen carefully. First key is the Lord's promise. The Lord's promise. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Let us go over to the other side. Jesus has promised his disciples, we're going over to the other side. Now, if Jesus has promised, do you think any storm in life can stop him? Of course, no. Now, had his disciples remember what the Lord has said, they would not have panicked. Isn't it true? Now, when you are in a storm, I want to suggest there are two things you must not do. Firstly, don't blame others. It's very natural when some bad thing happens to us, we tend to shift the blame. It's you who caused me. It's you who caused this, right? So that was exactly what the disciples did. When storm hit, they tried to wake up Jesus. Hey, teacher, don't you care that we are drowning? Human nature. I've been doing a lot of marriage counseling, and I taught in marriage seminars, both here and overseas. So me and Judith handle many, many people in divorce or marriage issues. During the counseling, one thing I find invariably, many, many couples, they would point finger at one another. They will always say, it's his fault, it's her fault, but never their own fault. You know why they do that? Because by doing that, they're just trying to shift their responsibility, which they should themselves should carry. Now, friends, when you go through storms in life, blaming others doesn't help the situation and will never get you out of the rut. So, don't blame others. Now, obviously, when you go through a difficult time, Christians will tend to ask God, why? Why does it happen to me? Isn't it? We literally will ask God, why? And it's okay to ask God. But from my own experience, when you ask God why, usually he does not answer you. Isn't it true? Isn't it true? Why is that? Because when you are in the middle of a storm, obviously you panic, right? When you panic, you cannot hear God. Even if you hear him, you won't understand. Isn't it true? So I suggest don't ask God why. But a question many people would ask, why do bad things happen to good people? Have you been asked this question? Right? Many people ask, I'm a Christian, right? I go to church every Sunday. I pay my tithes. How come I have breast cancer? How come my children are rebellious? How come my boss would sack me? How come I don't get along with other people? We also ask why? But when you don't have the answer from God, people are frustrated. 2 years ago, remember the COVID lockdown? And that time was very restrictive. One day, I went to a paint shop to buy some paint to paint the house. So because at that time it was very restricted, we all lined up. They only allow one customer to go in every time. So I was lining up to a man. I think he was about my age. So I was waiting. I just started a conversation with him. So during the conversation, I told him, I'm a pastor. So I asked him, oh, because I want to reach out to him, do you have any religion or do you have any faith or do you believe in God? Now, this is what he said. He said, I used to be a Church of England member. I did believe in God, but I don't believe anymore. Wow. That was interesting. So I asked him, why? Now, he told me the story. He said, my daughter, she's in her 30s. She got two beautiful young kids, beautiful family. Just this year, she was diagnosed with a tumor in her brain, cannot be operated upon, and she is turning blind. Who is going to look after her children? Who is going to look after her family? It's not fair. If there's a God, why would he do to my daughter? He was very emotional and angry. How are you going to answer this question? I couldn't. There are many, many issues in life. We don't have the answer, isn't it? We wish we have an answer. I wish I could answer him, but I'm not God. I don't know the answer. Many, many things happen in life that we don't understand, especially bad things. Now, I don't know why bad things will happen to good people, but one thing I believe, I don't believe God will purposely put a bad thing in his people. I don't believe that. But I do believe that in God's sovereignty, he will allow some bad things to happen even to his people. And when that happens, it's for a reason. And this reason is this verse, Romans 8:28. Let's look at this verse. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, all things means all things, meaning both good things and bad things, right? Now, so what Apostle Paul was saying here is, when Christians, when you encounter so-called bad things, God has a purpose in it. As long as you love him, as long as you're called according to his purpose, he can turn these bad things around for your good. Then you ask, what good can come out of bad things? When I have breast cancer, what good things can come up? When my children are rebellious, what good thing are there being? There are good things. There are good things. At least four good things you can learn when God allows bad things, so-called bad things, to happen in your life. Listen carefully to me. Through going through the bad things, he will build your faith in him. Amen. Through going through the bad things, you learn obedience to him. Yes. Through going through the bad things, you will experience his power. Amen. Through going through all these bad things, you get to know him better. Amen. Can we say amen to that? Amen. Amen? Now, this is important, church, because we all can go through bad things at times. So what are the good things? Build your faith, teach you obedience, allow you to experience his power so that you know our God better. Amen? It's difficult to understand. It's even harder to go through it. Because all these good things, they don't happen on the mountaintop. They happen at the bottom of the valley. Amen? Remember the story of Daniel and his three friends, right? Because they insisted they would not bow down to the image which the Babylonian king put up. They were at the risk of being thrown into a fiery furnace. But they trust that God would deliver them. Now, this is my point. All these good things, they don't grow in a greenhouse. They grow in fiery furnace. Amen? After you endure all this and have gone through it, you will understand all these so-called bad things are indeed blessings in disguise. Can we say amen to that? tell you a true story. I got a very respected pastor friend of mine. He's from Singapore. He's in his 80s now. He shared this true story when he was a young pastor. One day he was called to a hospital because one of his members was dying. The member was just a young kid, a young man, 18 years old. He has this leukemia, was really serious, and was in his last days. So he quickly went to the hospital. And when he entered the room, the whole family was there. Parents and relatives were there, because this young man was dying. And his family, whole family, they are not believers. They were Buddhists. Only this young man was a Christian in his church. So the parents were very concerned, of course, very sad. And so they asked the pastor a question. Pastor, do you think God can heal my son? Being a young pastor, he was full of faith. He said, yes, of course. You know, God is all-powerful, you know, all-healing. He will heal your son. So the parents said, could you please pray for our son? He said, oh, yeah, of course. So he prayed with all the might that he could, all the faith that he has, pray in tongues, pray all this, and pray, and ask God to heal him. And after that, you know, and he said, oh, don't worry. God will heal your son. And then he said goodbye to the family and went back to his office. When he arrived at his office, his staff told him, hey, look, that family wanted you to go back to the hospital straight away because their son has just passed away. I thought, ooh, I'm in trouble. I just gave them a blank check and said that God will heal him. So how am I going to face the family? I'm sure they're going to scold me. Sure, they would blame our God. But no choice, being a pastor, you're going to go, right? Pastor Luke, right? We have to go, right? Pastor Peter? We have to go. So he went back to the hospital and entered the room. By that time, the young man was dead. The whole family was there. And he was expecting a heavy scolding from the family. But no. And their parent quickly come and grab him and say, Pastor, how can we become a Christian? Wow, he got a shock. I thought you were going to scold me. And now you ask me how to become a Christian. Then they told the story. Before this young man passed away, they all noticed that he was in such peace. They couldn't understand it. His countenance was if God was there. And the young man said to the family, he said, I'm going back to my Lord. I'm not afraid. But one thing is in my heart. Because I want to see you all there. I really love to see you all there in heaven. But you cannot be there unless you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So please do that. Now the family loved this young man. So after he passed away, they decided they want to ask the pastor back. Because they wanted to become Christian. So that one day, they can see their loving son. So on that day, the pastor led the whole family to Christ. Wow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As he was walking out, then he said goodbye to them, walked out to his car in the car park. God spoke to him very, very clearly through the Holy Spirit. This is what God said to him. My ways are higher than your ways. As heaven is higher than earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. On that day, this pastor, young pastor at that time, have a good understanding of Romans 8:28, that God will work all things for good to those who love him, for the call according to his purpose. And this pastor went on to become one of the very famous evangelists in Singapore, and God has used him mightily to save many, many souls. So, when you go through a storm, what can you do? Action. Pray, seek, and hold fast to the Lord's promises. Now, I want to suggest to you, you can ask God, but perhaps not ask him why. You still can. But I would suggest, instead you ask God, not why, but what do you want me to learn through this storm? Watch. Second question you can ask God is, how could I respond to this storm? Ask this, right? And then you wait to hear from God. What we call the rhema, meaning the word, spoken word of the Holy Spirit. When you entrust that, God will address the issue, right? Because you are His people. And once you hear the rhema word, hold on to it, even though the storm is still raging, because this is your lifeline. Amen? Because God's promise would give you hope. Hope to sustain you through the difficult times. And God's promise never fails. Amen? So, the Lord's promise. Hold on to His promise. His promise settles in heaven and will never, never fail you. That's the first key. Let's look at photo. Next photo. Now, if you were one of the disciples, I won't blame you. It was a terrible storm, right? They all panicked, they all frightened. But where was Jesus at that time? You see? He was sleeping there. Where did he sleep? Near the stern. Now, this is my second point. When you go through storms in life, the key is the Lord's presence. Verse 38. Yeah, next one. Jesus was on the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" While everybody was jumping up and down with fear, the Lord was sleeping soundly in the boat. He was totally at peace. Where did he sleep? He sleep at the stern. You know what the stern is? The stern is the area where you control the boat, right? In those days, we don't have a motor, so you use stern, rowing boat. And Jesus was sleeping at the stern, meaning he was totally in control. He was totally at peace. Now, when people are going through storms in life, the natural reaction would be fear and panic, right? What do they need? Inner peace. Inner peace, right? When you're panicky, what do you need? The antidote of panic is peace, right? Now, some Christians have the wrong belief or understanding. Once you become a Christian, it's all smooth sail. It's all rose gardens. And those hyper-faith teaching and the prosperity teaching didn't help. Now, I humbly differ with that kind of teaching. There's no such thing as a smooth sail Christianity. Do you agree? Amen. Now, in fact, you have more trouble since you become a Christian. How many know what I'm talking about, right? It's true. Why is that? Because before you become a Christian, we are all under the authority of the devil, right? We are all slaves of sin. Once you become a Christian, you came out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And straight away, you become the arch enemy of the enemy, right? Of the devil. And he will target you and your family. This is why Christians, they have more troubles than before they became Christians. Right? So there's no such thing as a smooth sail Christianity, because God never promised Christians a trouble-free life. But He does promise us of a peace in His presence. Amen? This is what the Lord promised in John 16:33. He said, "I have told you this thing so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." Hallelujah. Now, this is my point. It's not the absence of troubles in life, but the presence of God that overcomes. Amen? It's not the absence of trouble. God has never promised that, but it's the presence of Him, the peace. So it's very important. So what do? When we go through storm, enter God's presence with praise and worship. Amen. Remember the song? I'll enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. Remember the song, right? Remember that? By praise and thanksgiving and worship, it will bring us into God's presence. In God's presence, two things will happen. Firstly, it's a supernatural peace. The Bible calls it a peace which surpasses all understanding, meaning you can't understand. The second thing happen would is the supernatural joy. Somehow, despite the circumstances, you have joy within. How many of you have experienced it? Supernatural peace and God's joy. It's very important because peace would guard your heart. Right? And joy, the Lord, joy of the Lord is your strength to help you go through the difficult times. The Lord's promise. The Lord's presence. Let's see the next photo. So, after the disciples has woken Jesus up, he just with one command, one word, calm the storm. Now, on that night, let's look at the next one, next verse. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the wave, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. On that night, the disciples experienced the supernatural power of the Lord, which overcame the natural power of the storm. When it comes to experiencing God's power, many Christians, they have never experienced God's power. Why? Because they don't have the faith to trust God. Now, because they have not experienced God's power, they cannot build their faith. So you see, this is a catch-22 situation. You don't have faith, you can't experience God's power. You have not experienced God's power, you don't have faith. Right? It's a rut. So what do we do? How can we experience God's power? Very simply, know your God well. Know your God well. Now, how many of you know that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior? Put your hand. Right? Okay. How many of you believe that Jesus Christ is our supplier? He supplies all our need. Amen? How many of you believe Jesus Christ protects us? Amen? How many of you believe that Jesus is the source of all our blessings? Amen? Now, all these are correct. But God has one name, one other name, very unique name. His name is El Shaddai. Now, the name El Shaddai is a very unique name, meaning Almighty God. That means God is all-powerful, almighty. There's nothing difficult for the Lord, right? Another translation of El Shaddai is God of all sufficiency. He's sufficient to meet all your need because He's all-powerful. He creates the universe. Now, tell me, can any storms in life bother Him? No. All the storm, all the problem in this world, to God is just chicken feed. Do you agree? Because of Almighty, Almighty. How many of you have experienced God's power in your life? Amen. Wow, I'm so pleased to see that. You know what I'm talking about, right? Experience God's power. So what do? Pray for God's power to manifest when you're going through a storm. Right? Because you're His beloved sons and daughters. Just a simple prayer. Because God's power saves and delivers. So how do you pray? You don't have to pray a long sermon. Right? Leave that to Pastor Luke. All you need to do is simple prayer. Remember, Peter. He was walking on water. Remember the story? Right? He was walking towards Jesus. That was a miracle. The second man who can walk on water. Wow, he was on cloud number 9. And then suddenly, he forgot about Jesus. He began to look at the winds and, oh, what am I doing here? Am I dreaming? I'm drunk. And he drank. What did Peter do? He prayed a prayer. Just very simple prayer. Listen to what he prayed. Lord, save me. That's all he prayed. And what happened? Jesus actually was next to him. Pull him up. And he was saved. What's my point? When you go through problems, dire straits, pray a simple, earnest, humble, and sincere prayer to God. God, please save me from this situation. And trust him to deliver you and to save you. And you will experience his mighty power to save. Amen? Do you notice that the Lord's promise, the Lord's presence, and the Lord's power, they are all received by faith? Amen? 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 For we walk by faith and not by sight. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For everyone who come to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. Amen? Amen? Now, listen to me. If you have never experienced God's power in your life, remember this. Faith in God releases God's power. Take this home. Remember this very well. Now, perhaps you understand now why at that night Jesus allowed his disciples to go through such a terrible storm. Because he wants to build their faith. He wants them to experience his power. In fact, throughout the 3.5 years Jesus walking on earth, all the things he did with the disciples was build their faith. Because he knew too well, after he went back to heaven, these disciples are going to hold the fort and continue on with bringing the gospel to the end of the earth. Without faith, it would be impossible. Are we learning something this morning about faith? Amen. That's the most important quality that God wants you and I to build. Faith in him. Faith in him. Faith in him. Now, on the other hand, if there's no faith, doubt would come in. First thing is doubt. The second thing is fear, right? Imagine you're one of the disciples. When they were hit by the storm, they would think, oh, would the Lord who did so many signs and wonders in the past, can he save us? That's doubt. And the fear begin to come in. Oh, I'm going to drown. Isn't the same sensation you and I went through when we were hit by storms in life? I'm a Christian. Would God answer my prayer? That's doubt. Oh, I'm in trouble. I'll be bankrupt. Oh, I'm facing a divorce. Oh, I'm facing a cancer. I don't know whether I will die. Now, when doubt comes in, faith would go out of the window. And you know what come in? Instead, fear would come in. True? When there's no faith, doubt, when there's doubt, faith would go out of the window. Another fellow would come in, that's fear. This is why, after calming the storm, the Lord told the disciple, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith in me? And when he pulled Peter up from the water, the first thing he told Peter was, what did he say to Peter? Why did you doubt? You got my point? Because of Peter's doubt, the faith left him. When you go through storms in life, it's very important that you put your trust in God and not on yourself. Not on your own cleverness or even your own experience in the past. It's very common, very natural. Because of my experience, what I did before, it helped me so I can do the same. Please don't do that. Because your past experience might not be able to help you. Now, this is the final words I want to leave with you. to bring home. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is a very wonderful verse. Can we declare together by faith? 1, 2, 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Can we say amen to that? Amen? Amen. Never use your own strength for your own wisdom when you're in a storm, right? Now, when you're in darkness, don't light your own fire. The Bible calls it light your own fire. People light their own fire because they cannot see the help coming yet. The help has not come. Doesn't mean that the help will not come, right? And while they're waiting, many people try to help God by lighting their own fire. Remember the story of Abraham? God has promised him a son, but before that, he waited for 10 years. Nothing happened. What did he do? He tried to help God and listen to his dear wife, right? Now, we know that you should listen to your wife. Amen? Can all the husbands say amen? Listen to your wife by all means. But, there's a but. When your wife asks you to take a concubine or a third person because you cannot give birth to you, never listen to even to your wife because you will have nightmares. Amen? And Abraham has such a nightmare just by listening to his wife. And the rest was history and got him into big, big trouble. And today it's believed that the Arab race actually was a descendant of the other son. Right? Ishmael. And now the Jewish people are enemies to one another because the father of faith, Abraham, did not trust God enough. Isn't it a good lesson for us to learn? Right? So don't help God because God doesn't need your help. Yeah. Amen? We need to repent of it. Now, this morning, I just shared with you 3 keys by which we can overcome storms in life. It's not if, I said, it's when storms hit you. It's my prayer that Heart City Church, we can all learn from this gospel passage and utilize the 3 keys to overcome any storm that comes your way and trust God for your deliverance. Now, when you can do that, not only you'll be helped, but also you'll be a witness and testimony to people around you, especially for those who are not Christian, that our God is indeed El Shaddai. God Almighty, and nothing is too difficult for Him. Amen? And with this, you'll be a very powerful witness in the community. And any storm that comes your way will be just chicken feed to you because our God is El Shaddai. Amen? We ask our worship team to come. Would you bow your heads with me just in prayers? We all go through storms in life. My point is, when you go through storms in life, one key factor is when Jesus is in the same boat as you, you will have no problem. Because Jesus is the answer to all our questions, is the solution to all our problems. This morning, is there anyone in here that Jesus is not yet in your boat? Meaning, you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to do that. Because unless Jesus is in your same boat as you have no one to call upon when you're in storm. Now, you could be in church, visiting church for a while, or you can know about God, but that is besides the point. You must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I also talk to young people. Now, you might grow up in a Christian family, but it doesn't mean that you're saved. You must make your own personal decision to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And it's simple to do that. You just say yes to Jesus. So is there anyone that you know and you know and you know you're not born again yet? This morning, I want to invite you to make this step of faith to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because from then on, He will be in the same boat as you. Is there anyone? Just put up your hand for me because I want to pray for you. Is there anyone? Yes? That Jesus Christ is not yet your Lord and Savior. Anyone else? Just put up your hand. Yes, I saw the hand. Anyone else? Put up your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be embarrassed. This is very important. Yes, I saw the hand. Very, very important decision. As I say, you might be come to church for a few times, or you could be even baptized. But it doesn't mean that you're saved, you're born again. I was baptized when I was a baby in a traditional church. At that time, I wasn't born again. So when the Lord called me back, I was re-baptized. Because by then, I know exactly what I was doing. So I want to call upon the young people. If you just come along to church with your parents, and yet you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to put your hand because I want to pray for you as well. Anyone else? Anyone else? Put up your hand. That you know and you know and you know you're not born again yet. This morning, I want to invite you to join God's family so that Jesus could be in the same boat as you. Put up your hand. Anyone else? Okay. Now, those who have put up their hand, now the rest, please close your eyes. I ask you to stand, please. Those who have put up your hand, please stand. Please stand. Don't be shy. It's a glorious, glorious decision. Anyone else? Just stand up. Stand up where you are. That's great. Now, I'm going to lead you into a prayer. This prayer is called salvation prayer. It's very simple. This prayer is confessing that we are sinners. We are all sinners. And receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. As simple as that. Now, when you pray this with me, meaning what you pray today, your destiny will be changed. Your eternal destiny will be changed. Because your name will be written on the book in the book of life in heaven. Now, Heart City Church, I ask your support to encourage these few people by praying together aloud, right? Pray together aloud because God will hear it, the congregation will hear it, and devil will hear that. Alright? Are you ready? You just pray after me aloud. Okay? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your son Jesus. I confess that I'm a sinner. I confess that I cannot help myself. But Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins so that I could be saved. This morning, I make a conscious decision to receive you as my Lord and my Savior. From today on, I will repent of all my sins and follow you all the days of my life. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, church, let's put our hands together and really welcome these three brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm pleased to announce to you today on your eternal destiny has been changed. Amen. All by the grace of God because your name is now written in the book of life in heaven. Amen. Can we all rejoice? Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's worship the Lord.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fear has stilled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
Amen.
In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, stand by the ones he came to save, till on that cross that Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live.
How many of you love this song? Right? I sang it when I was a kid, and this song gave us all the answer. Because of what Jesus has done on the cross, everything that needs to be done has been done.
Yeah.
Because when he said, it is finished. Now today, do we still have a bit of time of ministry, Pastor? Okay, I won't take you for long. I know you've been here for a while. Now I just sense we want to pray for people. Now, if you're going through some difficult time in your life, remember, this is your family. And Apostle Paul said in Corinthians that if we are all different parts of the same body, if one part hurts, we all hurt. So when you're going through a difficult time in your life, your family is here to stand with you. So whatever troubles you're going through, can I invite you to come forward? The pastors, the elders, the leader would want to pray for you. It's okay? Right, just come forward. Now, I have a couple words I want to just release. I just sense that there's someone here. You have a problem with your family, with your children, especially your son. The son is quite rebellious. That causes you a lot of grief. If this is you, I want you to come out because we want to pray for you. There's someone else, recently you have some problems, pain in this area, mainly the stomach, and you're waiting for a test. If this is you, I want you to come out because we want to pray for you, right? So please come out, come forward. You need prayer, and can I invite the elders, the pastors, the leaders to pray for people? As we sing the song quietly again, let us do some ministry. Yeah. Yes.
Alone, who took final death. Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of men can ever cut me from his hand till he returns and calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I stand apart now. No power.